Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
While you're taking a break from sports, KSON is putting you on the road to Stagecoach 8 times every weekday, thanks to your San Diego County Toyota dealers and Cox Communications. Ready for 3 days of live country music in the desert? Sign up now at KSON.com.
Went to my first ever Entercom sales meeting yesterday, Woods.
Only took you 6 months.
We have some nice people who work in the building.
Really nice people.
They are.
When do we start? June 10th, is that right?
June 10th. 7 months.
7 months, yeah.
They weren't talking about sales much. I was surprised. I went to the meeting, and they were just playing this game of Family Feud. And I was going, This is interesting.
This
seems more like a party than a meeting.
They're probably doing the bit where they're like, hey, let's try to trick them and make it a fun game when we're really teaching them something. Because we're all grown-up children.
Yeah, it might have been. I was looking for the hidden... Okay,
the
what's
hidden
message?
Right.
What's the secret lesson in this game?
And you know what the biggest power down in the world is for me? Ever. The biggest power down in the world if I have to go do something. Like one of those corporate meetings or a talent meeting, whatever. It's two words for you. Scavenger hunt. I'm done. I quit. If they brought us all
not
in.
Trust fall.
Oh, my God. If they brought us all in and said, all right, guys, Ben and Woods against Gwen and Chris against Coach and Braden, we're going to do a scavenger hunt, I'd say, I'm out. I will sit here. I will do all kinds of, I'll do spreadsheets, whatever you want. I don't want to do a scavenger hunt. There's nothing I hate more than a scavenger hunt.
If everyone on the show had to pick one of the other to catch them on the trust fall, where you close your eyes, you fall backwards, and trust that the person is going to catch you, which member of the crew would you all pick to catch you?
Great question. I mean, I don't think any of us would coup d'etat the other person and not catch them. Like I'd probably pick Ben. I'd pick Ben, Paul, or Hammer. There's no one I wouldn't trust on this show.
It's true.
Ben, if you said, all right,
I don't think I'd pick you. Oh, I know you.
Nice.
I know you'd catch me, but you'd make a few jokes about not catching me that would make me nervous
to the point
where it would be really uncomfortable.
That's fair.
That is very, very fair. I would feel comfortable falling into any of your arms.
I think Hammer would be right, maybe the strongest to
He's
make sure that he
strong.
Actually catches me.
Yeah, let's try it. Let's try a trust fall.
Will you do one with Hammer right now?
A trust fall?
Yeah. Where does he stand though? Maybe on that little thing.
Could do it outside.
Yeah, we'll do it at the break. We'll film it and put it on Twitter at Ben and Woods.
No, I'm nervous. All of a sudden,
that was your idea.
Very nervous.
But better than a scavenger hunt.
They seem to be having a really good time. The point is, they're having a really good time at the sales meeting.
That's great.
I've never really, as I said, I've never had a real job, so. Never had to do anything like that,
yeah.
And I wondered if that was normal or that was unusual, like team building. I don't know. I mean, we did the barbecue at my house. I guess that was team building.
Yeah, I like a good team building as long as I don't have to go fetch things from different places and look for, and figure out clues and stuff.
I love figuring out clues.
God, it's a nightmare to me.
Have you ever been to one of those escape rooms?
No.
Oh, fun. They are so fun. You have to solve puzzles.
Benny, I give up too easily.
Find, clues and objects that help you get out of the locked room in an hour.
I give up too easily on stuff like that, and I will just rot. I'll just rot in that cell.
They let you out eventually.
Well, fine. I'd be in there the max. I have no desire.
So can anyone guess? Last night, 11 p.m. news, Channel 10, got my, 2 minutes of sports. What my lead story was last night.
It's got to be the map.
It was the Auburn-Alabama basketball game, which there's just no way I'm putting Auburn-Alabama basketball highlights on a San Diego local news show without some sort of really odd, compelling reason. And yeah, it had to be the map. Every San Diego State fan knows what I'm talking about. The map that goes from 353 teams at the start of the year, and every time you lose, your team comes off the map.
Yes.
And the area of the map grows for the other remaining unbeaten teams. Starts getting bigger and encompassing surrounding company counties. Counties is the word I was looking for.
Yes.
States. And eventually, so as they whittle down, the last week or two, it's been down to two. The left half of the United States all was San Diego State, the SD, the Arrow. The right half was Auburn Orange. And it was a competition to see who could last longer, who could be the last standing, the only unbeaten team remaining in Division I men's college basketball. And when Auburn lost at Alabama last night, the map was all red. San Diego State, the only team left in college basketball without a loss.
It's incredible. Incredible. Auburn was not supposed to lose that game, were they?
They were a slight favorite. Now, Alabama's nothing special. They're a 500 team. But it's Auburn at Alabama. It's a road game. You know, that's the trick. When you get to conference play, every road game is dangerous. That's what's San Diego State so impressive so far.
Yeah.
They've already won, what, like four conference road games, just, you know, getting started here. That's tough to do in any conference, including the Mountain West, where you've got altitude, tough travel. It's tough in the SEC. It's tough in the Pac-12. It's tough in the ACC. Wherever you go to someone else's arena, someone else's gym, you're always in danger of taking a loss. And it finally happened to Auburn last night. So it's just San Diego State. And they're ranked seventh in the country. The number three team, Duke, lost on Tuesday.
Incredible.
Number four, Auburn, lost last night. Number five, Butler, lost last night. Seton Hall came from double digits down to beat them.
It's the top three team right now.
At Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. So that was a home loss. San Diego State could definitely move up into the top five if they beat Nevada on Saturday.
Game Saturday. The new poll will come out Monday at 9. Ben will be... Oh, actually, you won't be in the studio.
It's a holiday.
So you'll be at home.
I'll have to remember to be doing and sitting and refreshing over
what
and over
is
again.
Your drop-dead number you're pissed off if they're not at?
Five.
Five, okay.
I can see Duke maybe just falling the one spot, but four seems likely, which would match the highest ever ranking in program history. The Kawhi Leonard team that started 20-0, they got to number four before they lost. And San Diego State this year could get to number four. Maybe they could get even higher.
First time in school history that they are the last remaining unbeaten team this late in the season, right?
Yep.
18-0. And they are the last one on the map. That was pretty cool last night to see everyone kind of tweeting out the map, and it's just San Diego State. Pretty magical. Pretty magical thing that's going on right now.
I mean, think about it. You know, when you get to the NCAA tournament, the idea is to be the last one of the 68 teams in the tournament to go unbeaten.
Yes.
Because once you have a loss,
You're out.
Well, in the college basketball season, there's 353 teams, and they outlasted all of them.
Crazy.
To get to number one. Now, yeah, have they played Duke? Have they played Kansas? No, but they beat everyone that was on their schedule. They've beaten top 25 teams, Iowa, Creighton, tournament teams, BYU, on the road. They've won more road games than I think just about anyone in the country at this point. This is not a nothing accomplishment. Some people tweeted back, yeah, where's your trophy for that, for being the last unbeaten? You don't get a trophy for it, but don't minimize it. It's a really cool accomplishment for San Diego State, what they've done.
It's definitely something to be very proud of, man, and you want to keep that going this weekend against Nevada. So, and we all fully expect to.
Quickly, we put out a poll about the Padres over-under win totals. We talked about it a little bit at the end of the show yesterday. Paul, can we get that updated, the final numbers of the poll? So Caesars Palace Sportsbook came out with their over-under win totals for the Major League Baseball season, put the Padres right at 83, which was as the Las Vegas tends to do, a devilish number that really makes you think, oh, that's a tough one, 83. Are they going to get more than that? It's a big improvement.
Big improvement, yeah.
Big improvement, but at the same time, you know, with the excitement and optimism of Padres fans, you also kind of hope they can do better than that. Just 83 is... it's not great. You know, it's just above 500, just a tick above 500. That's not getting you really anywhere near the playoffs with 83 wins. What do Padres fans say, Paul, about that over-under number of 83?
Sorry, I'm just over here waiting for Ben to cue the Rindle report.
Yeah, but, I don't know why we're just totally like just killing the Rindle report. I don't know what's happening.
Poll, so 50, it's pretty much the same as where it was. It didn't move a whole lot. 55% say over 83 wins, and then the combined either under or on the nose was 45%.
All right.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, well, because I totally did forget. It's a new feature. I've got to get used to it. It's not like we've done it a million times.
You mean maybe if Paul had a more detailed rundown, then maybe you would have gotten that.
No, it's he just highlights
highlight
it
in
green.
A different color.
Maybe. Yeah, and I can't read the highlights in green. It just it washes out for me, and I didn't see it. I'm totally my mistake. Guess what? We still have about 3 minutes. Let's do it.
I don't want to do it now.
Okay, stop the Rindle.
Stop the Rindle report.
We'll just do it the next. No, we got Cash Money coming up. We
yeah,
got to do it now.
We really no.
We'll just boot it. Whatever.
No, we're not booting it.
No, move it back then. We're doing it at 7 o'clock.
We're doing it at 7 o'clock. The Rindle report. That's prime time. Do not f this up, Paul. All right. Rindle report at 7, prime time. Prime time. All right. We're making the executive decision right now. Put it in here. Okay, Rindle report. Right. Way to go, Ben.
I feel bad.
Yeah, you should.
No, can you know
no
you
one likes their segment.
Someone is allowed to jump in.
When you start
a roll, man.
Listen, when that freaking SDSU gets going.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, you can't stop him.
Did I fullback that one?
Oh, just my God. It's
got a head
like,
of steam going. And
it's only with the Aztecs right now. And when Ben gets going on those Aztecs, you cannot stop him from talking Aztecs. And he's got those thoughts in his head, and they're laid out, and he's going to get them out to you. And
I will
take your segment,
say
Paul,
that,
and just, you know, listen.
After the Chargers left, you know, I had the Padres and the Chargers.
Yeah.
They were my teams.
Of course.
You know, the two teams I cared about. I have upped my interest in San Diego State basketball, I think partly to compensate for my diminished interest in Chargers football.
Yes.
After they left.
Makes perfect sense to me.
The area of the map grows for the other remaining unbeaten teams. Starts getting bigger and encompassing surrounding company... counties. Counties. That's the word I was looking for.
Yes.
You're welcome.
I get so delighted.
You're welcome.
With the flubs. The ka-ka-ka-ka-ka. That's the new bit.
Encompassing surrounding company.
The stutter counties. Bit. The stutter bit is fairly new for Ben. Last year and early, you know, late last year, it was mostly like flubbing words. Now there's like a stuttering thing going on.
Yeah. I think it's just...
That brain gets going.
Proportionate to, you know, my level of fatigue at the end of the week, how much I've been working. So. Cash Medi is coming up, guys. We've got conference championship Sunday, over-under numbers.
Oh, boy.
He's got thoughts on all.
We'll be checking in with you as we get
all the gambling spreads in the National Football League this weekend. Our handicapper, Cash Medi, coming up next with Ben and Woods. Right now, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danning. I'll just learn something about myself.
Yeah, me
during
too.
During that break, I am not a trusting person. Not at all.
I am shocked right now.
You are.
That changes now because I would have trusted you, and now I'm not sure. I think you'll back out.
I think Ben would back out on a trust fall. That's a hammer. We were in the hallway, and Ben tried to do a trust fall, and you kicked your feet like you wouldn't.
I couldn't just relax into it.
You
and
wouldn't.
Fall.
You wouldn't.
I really tried to. And,
you did.
And my
twice.
Like survival instinct kicked in both times, and I had to try to catch myself.
You would not let yourself go, Ben.
I need one of those corporate retreat things.
running across hot coals.
Not a team player. I'm a lone wolf.
Are you an egomaniac? Is it an ego thing?
I don't think it's an ego thing. I definitely, I like things my own way. I like to do things myself.
Control freak.
I don't delegate. I just do it. I'm just the kind of person who wants to do it myself, not let someone else. Like at Channel 10, I edit all my own. I put in all my own graphics. I do it myself.
Yes.
And I do have trouble just trusting someone else, like, okay, you just take care of that.
I like to delegate. I'm a big delegator, aren't I, Paul?
Yes.
I am a huge delegator. I'll get an email from sales. Hey, Woodsy, could you do this? I'm like, yeah, Paul, can you make that happen for me?
My mind trusts Hammer completely. Like, my logical mind says there's no way Hammer would let me fall.
Right.
There's just no way at all. I mean, it's not possible. Yet my subconscious, my instincts would not let me just fall relaxed and graciously into his arms.
I think that that's something you need to talk to a professional about. Honestly, I mean, you can't let, you got to let yourself go sometimes.
Cameron's like the most trustworthy.
He's so trustworthy. 100%. Like, so loyal.
I know that. I know that. It was nothing, Cameron. I hope you don't feel bad. Had nothing to do with you. It would have happened with either of these guys.
Let's get started.
It would have been. I mean, there's just the Pope could be behind me, and I just, I don't know
the
that
Pope's
I trust.
150 years
I
old.
I like your chances with Hammer a little better, actually, than the Pope, Ben.
Jeez.
Man. That was amazing.
You know who I do trust?
Who?
I trust Cashmeti and his picks.
I do
and his
too.
Analysis.
And I went against him like a jackass and lost my whole thing.
Let's fire it up. Get ready for Conference Championship Sunday.
Idiot.
All right, before we get into the picks for the AFC and NFC Championship games, can people on Twitter lay off my man Cashmeti just a little bit?
Who's getting on? Oh, about the gambling?
Yeah, about the gambling. You know what? If people want to gamble responsibly, it's that's their choice.
Well, it's, you know, some of the arguments being made were like, hey, gambling destroys lives. I'm like, yeah, but I'm seeing you post pictures of you sucking down, you know, craft beer and stuff. Pretty sure alcohol destroys lives as
also
well.
Also, the old, well, you'd make more money if you put it into a mutual fund. It's... Gambling is not, if you're relying on gambling as your like source of income,
then yes,
that could be problematic.
If you're Knish from Rounders grinding out your rent money playing poker, yeah, I get it.
But if you're just doing it as your what you do for entertainment when you're not at work, it's your choice. And Cashmeti does pretty well. He's bounced back from a slow start this year.
100%.
He has. Opposed to a winning record.
He's white hot. He was like 8 in a row, and I like a jackass went against him in the national championship game, even though I had the gut feeling early. You know what I did? I let a sharp change my mind. All the sharps were on Clemson Cash, and I went against you, and I lost, and you won. So, congratulations.
No, I had Clemson, too.
Oh, you did? I thought you had LSU. Yeah. Okay, well,
I had LSU.
Ben, I should have listened to you. Yeah,
but, it made sense in that game. Now, Craig, you don't... you're not loving these games this weekend, and that's one thing you also get. You'll get honesty from Cash. He's not trying to sell you his picks, so he doesn't have to come up with a fake selection if he doesn't love it.
800 number.
But I'm sure you have some thoughts, so let's start with the AFC Championship. Titans at the Kansas City Chiefs, Sunday, 12:05. Spread, over, under, what are you kind of thinking on this one?
Okay, so the spread is -7.5 Kansas City, and the total is 53. And I'll lean Kansas City here, and it's trending down. If I could get -7, I'm going to play it. But as of right now, I don't like that half a point. But I like Kansas City. Tennessee is scoring. They're number 8 in scoring. They're getting 25 points a game. Now, their last 8 games, they're averaging 30 points a game. So they're trending up, and I think that's, you know, Tannehill compared to Mariota, stuff like that. Kansas City on defense is number 11. They're allowing 19.9 points a game. Now, they're also trending, you know, on defense. The last 6 games, they're only allowing 13.8 points a game. Obviously, Tennessee is going to try to run the ball with Derrick Henry, and they're number 2 in rushing. They're getting 146.7 yards rushing. And Henry, the last time they played Kansas City, they played him earlier in this year, he had 188 yards. The last 3 games for Henry, he's gotten 211, 182, and 195 yards. In all 3 of those games, he's had over 30 carries. So I kind of wonder if he's going to be worn down. I mean, I thought he was going to be maybe even worn down in the Ravens game, and he didn't look worn down at all.
Not one bit.
Now, Kansas City's the weakness on their team is their run defense. They're number 26 in run defense. So they're allowing 126 yards per game. And then on pass defense for Tennessee, so I think that's the weakness for Kansas City, obviously, is if Henry can, you know, milk the clock and control the line of scrimmage. But I just see Kansas City being able to score too many points, you know, here, and I just don't trust running teams. I trust passing teams more than running teams. Kansas City is 4th in passing. You know, they're getting 283 yards a game. Last time Mahomes faced Tennessee earlier in the season, he had 446 yards and 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Hill in that game had 11 receptions for 157 yards and a touchdown. Kansas City's number three in scoring. And then Tennessee's weakness on for their whole team is their pass defense. They're ranked 25th in the league. They're giving up 257 yards a game. They're 10th in scoring defense, which is pretty good. They're giving up 19.8. Now, the one thing that I see also is Tennessee's pass defense is 28th. They're giving up the 28th most sacks allowed per game, and Kansas City is third or eighth in sacks per game. So they're getting after the quarterback, and I feel like if Kansas City gets the lead, then Tennessee's going to struggle to be able to throw the football, and then. So I just see Mahomes scoring too many points here.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, it just as long as there's no fluky turnover, early in the game. You know what happened to Baltimore? That turnover killed them early. I think Kansas City should be okay. But
same.
God, it makes you nervous because one weird bounce, a pass that goes off someone's hands into that could really change a game like this against Tennessee. All right, NFC Championship time. Catch the Niners and the Packers. We saw this game back in Week 12. It was all Niners. Any reason why it's going to be different this time around?
Last time it was 37-8. I think it's going to be closer. The spread is the same thing. It's -7.5, and it's trending down to 7. If I could get 7, I'll probably play it for San Francisco. The total is 45. I kind of lean on the under, but I hate betting unders. It's kind of boring that way.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco's number two in offense scoring points. They're getting 29.8 points per game, and they're number three in rushing offense. Green Bay's defense is okay. They're ninth in allowing 19.8 points per game, but they're really struggling on run defense. So at number 23, they're allowing 119 yards per game rush defense. So I think San Francisco's going to be able to run the ball all game long and control the line of scrimmage. As far as Green Bay's offense goes, they're only 14th scoring. They're getting 23.8 points per game, and they're 16th in pass offense, which they're getting 233 yards per game. And San Francisco's got the number five scoring defense, allowing 18.8 points per game, and they're number one in pass defense. So I think Green Bay's going to have trouble passing the football. I think Devontae Adams, they're going to have to move him around. You know, you're not going to put him on Sherman's side. Sherman doesn't. He stays on one side, but I think San Francisco is going to be able to double Devontae Adams. I don't think Green Bay's got enough other guys that could exploit, or get open for Green Bay. So as long as San Francisco slows down Green Bay's running game, I think San Francisco is going to have no problem in this game. And I think Green Bay is going to actually try to run the football, knowing that. And I also know San Francisco is going to be able to run the football, so I think the clock's going to kind of run down, so I really do lean the under there. And then San Francisco, they get a lot of pressure. They're third in sacks per game, and Green Bay gives up the 13th most sacks per game. So I think San Francisco's defensive line is going to get after Rodgers all game long. So I kind of lean the under on that one. I see like a 24-17 type of score.
Sounds like it's going to be a very red Super Bowl, though. Yeah. Very red. Yeah.
Everyone's kind of
in that game.
Kind of leaning Chiefs Niners. I can't really disagree. I wish I had a nickel to bet on either of these games.
But I wish I had a nickel for every number Cash Money just threw at us.
Yeah, 100%.
My head's spinning a little bit. But basically the bottom line is keep an eye on that number. If it comes below 7.5, it's time to play.
Yeah.
But 7.5 on both games is a little much to give up. It's such a critical number there. Cash, good luck. We'll talk to you before the Super Bowl. Take care. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, homie.
All right. That's our Cash Meddy. A lot of numbers on that one.
Lots of analysis.
Yeah. I get that. I mean, it's always hard to give 7.5 because a team doesn't care. If we win by 7, you're up 14 late and give them a touchdown with a minute to go.
Yeah.
They don't care.
They don't care.
They just want to win. And if you're giving up that whole touchdown, It makes it a very difficult game to gamble on.
I can't tell you how happy I am that I'm going to be playing a tournament and not having to worry about these games this weekend, Benny.
All right, we are going to come back. Looking forward to this conversation. Kevin Armstrong, executive producer But the new Netflix documentary, Killer Inside, the Mind of Aaron Hernandez.
It has captivated the nation.
Just came out yesterday. It was trending on Twitter. Aaron Hernandez still trending on Twitter right now. I will talk to Kevin Armstrong. That is coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Cannot have been an easy documentary to make. Just, I can tell you, being in television, I can tell you, just watching the first episode, very tough to get all that footage together. I was very impressed from what I've seen so far. We'll be talking in a moment about Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez, the new Netflix documentary that dropped yesterday. First, though, let's get a Ben and Woods check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick. Going to be playing our daily game of Real or Fake a little bit later in this segment. Stay tuned for that. We got a pair of tickets to the 2020 Farmers Insurance Open to give away. Golf, the tournament actually gets underway a week from today at Torrey Pines, so it's right around the corner. But right now, joining us on our SDCCU fan hotline, executive producer from that new documentary about Aaron Hernandez, Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez, Kevin Armstrong, with us here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Kevin, appreciate you spending some time with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, as I said, you know, I have another job in television, so I know that collecting video, just going through it all, putting it together is not an easy job. Tell me just about the process of making this documentary on Aaron Hernandez and what it kind of took to get this all together.
Yeah, really a collaborative team effort, you know, between Blackfin, a production company in New York, Dan Wetzel and I, obviously writers by trade, and Gino McDermott, the director, and the guys with Rock, Paper, Scissors also, just culling through a lot of video. I mean, there's some rabbit holes. I covered the case from the day Aaron was a suspect. I also covered the NFL, so, you know, I was at the Super Bowl covering him when he played against the Giants, scored a touchdown against Brady, and, you know, there's just an amazing, there are some videos that we have in there, you know, dating back to high school, and even when he makes the Super Bowl, you know, there's a celebration at his mother's school for him and everything, and, yeah, I really think that it's some of those, you know, older clips that, you know, we got from either friends or family and different people we spoke to that really breathe life into the story.
One thing you guys did that I really liked is that you also spotlighted Odin Lloyd, and I think that is one aspect of the situation that kind of got lost. I mean, you just heard, oh well, Aaron Hernandez killed this guy, Odin Lloyd, and we didn't really know what kind of person Odin Lloyd was, and by all accounts, a really great man lost his life that night.
Yeah, and that was imperative to me. You know, from when I first started covering a case, you know, I went down to Faison Street. 10 Faison Street is, you know, a block in the Dorchester section of Boston. And that was an incredible story in its own right. Odin was, you know, kind of the man of his house. He had a mother. He had sisters. He was hardworking, you know, a blue collar labor guy and playing semi-pro football on the side just as, you know, kind of a release for him and everything. And that's who Aaron Hernandez killed. You know, this is the $40 million Patriot, you know, putting six bullets into a immigrant from, you know, a neighborhood that, you know, was just trying to get by at that time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, speaking to the neighbors and everything, that really came to light right away.
Kevin, legally, what's involved in obtaining, for instance, all the recordings that, you know, the prison recordings or the phone calls that Aaron Hernandez had with his fiance and his mom, and you hear the little girl, the process that kind of goes through to acquire some of that video?
Yeah, the Freedom of Information Act is your friend. You know, we put in a request immediately. You know, after the suicide and even before then, you know, just trying to understand what his life was like. You know, a lot of the times the authorities, the state won't release things while they're still incarcerated or being held. So, you know, it was a waiting game. And I think you've heard some of them and, you know, the conversation he has with his agent in the documentary.
Yeah.
He's joking that, you know, I need a Nike swoosh on my orange jumpsuit and the, you know, the agent kind of laughs it off and he goes, well, you know, how about Smith and Wesson? I mean, you know, these are comments and thoughts unfiltered that Hernandez is giving in a way that you would never even get that in a, you know, 20-hour sit-down interview with him. Obviously, there's never going to be a definitive interview with Aaron, but these phone calls really bring you into his circle. Tension with his mother, you know, back and forth with his fiance, his brother, agent. You know, these are the most personal conversations that he was having, and they were all available to us.
We are talking to Kevin Armstrong, executive producer for Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez. It is a documentary on Netflix right now. I mean, it's the number one trending thing on Twitter. That's got to make you guys feel good. But, you know, when you immerse yourself, Kevin, in something like this, a story like this, I can imagine that it gets pretty heavy. I can imagine that you're left feeling emotional. I was emotional watching about 30 seconds into it when he's talking to his daughter from prison. I'm a father. My son's about to turn 2 years old. It ripped my soul out. It really did. And listen, I know that's the point of what you guys are trying to do, make an emotional connection. So well done there. But I did want to ask you, when you have immersed yourself in this and you kind of learn more and more, why did he do that? Like, was it to show off? Was it, like, in your opinion, you're just kind of dime store psychiatry. Was he just trying to be a hard ass? Was he wanting to see what he could get away with? What really was it?
Yeah, you know, naturally it's a cocktail. There was a confluence of events and everything, but the real turn, if you speak to people, you know, I mean, he was 23 when he was arrested. So this wasn't a guy who, you know, had a full 40 years of life experience and everything. You know, he loses his father, you know, at about 16 or so. And a lot of people said there was a switch there, you know, like even at the funeral, you know, they just noticed that he was very, you know, stoic and cold, and it was a different Aaron than the kind of happy-go-lucky kid that, you know, they grew up with and whatnot. So, you know, that's the real pivot. I think that, you know, from that point, there's a ton of things. He goes down to Florida, ultra-competitive atmosphere, you know, a lot of stuff going on in Gainesville at that time. You know, he gets to the Patriots. He never really leaves the New England area. So, you know, the seedier elements of back home can kind of follow through, and he has easy access to some of that stuff. So I think it just continued to build. You know, I think the father's death was a major event. And I think that, you know, he was presented a lot of forks in the road. And I will say he took the wrong one just about every time.
Wow.
You know, in terms of the decision making.
Kevin, you did have, at least I haven't watched the whole thing yet. I watched the first episode yesterday. You have some former Patriots players on there, you know, giving their thoughts. But the organization itself, I mean, did they try to stand in the way? We know what the Patriots are generally like when it comes to to media and, you know, their reluctance to say much, certainly with Bill Belichick. Did they try to stand in the way, make things difficult at all, just not cooperate? What was the level of involvement with the actual organization?
Yeah, you know, having covered them as a newspaper reporter, and Dan has done the same in terms of with Yahoo Sports and everything, you kind of know the culture, and you just know how limited everything is going to be with the Patriots. And obviously, Hernandez, you know, the day he was arrested, you know, the Patriots put out a statement. I think it was within like 5 to 10 minutes. I mean, like they wasted no time trying to dissociate themselves from him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was we even represented in the film, you know, Brady and Tebow and Gronk, you know, it's almost comical at some point in terms of just how quickly everything was, you know, like, yeah, you know, Hernandez is in the past. We're not discussing that.
No, we're moving on. Don't remember the guy.
Yeah,
we're, sorry.
Yeah, we're just moving on.
Yep. No,
it's crazy.
Not sure who you're talking about.
And that's the culture, you know, like it was no different. If anything, it was on hyperspeed. I wouldn't say that they tried to disrupt our, you know, reporting or anything like that. I certainly didn't experience that, but you know, I know the wall that they put up, and I know, you know, I've gotten behind the wall before. I've, you know, been I've had issues with them in terms of access and whatnot, but by no means do I think they disrupted you know, what we were trying to put together here.
We are talking to Kevin Armstrong, executive producer for Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez. It's a documentary. It's on Netflix. It is blowing up. I mean, it's the number one trending thing on Twitter right now, and it's really well done. I made it through 1.5 yesterday, and it wasn't for lack of compellingness. It was I wanted to savor it. Like I didn't want it to end. I'm gonna
speed through it.
Yeah, you know? I'm gonna stretch this out a little bit. I did one thing that happened. And I was talking to our assistant producer, played college football. I had a feeling when I was watching it. I felt a little bit dirty, Kevin, for loving college football the way that I do. I really did, and you guys did a really good job at presenting just kind of how crazy it is in college football. In your opinion, obviously the passing of his father was a very tough day, but a lot of people lose their parents at a young age, and they don't do the things that he did. When he got to Florida, was that when he really started to see, yeah, I can pretty much do whatever I want and get away with it? Because you talked to the kid from BC, and all the guys were getting shots of Toradol, and it's a big corporation. That, to me, was eye-opening, and it really made me feel dirty for loving college football.
Yeah, you know, everybody had a great Monday night, right?
Of course.
LSU and Clemson.
Well,
I
bet Clemson, so not really. Right. It wasn't really right. That great for me.
There you go. You're on the losing end.
Yes.
The pageantry is beautiful. I've been everywhere. I've seen Tuscaloosa. I've seen Baton Rouge. You know, I've been to these stadiums. You know, it's great. You know, like 10-year-old Kevin Armstrong loves it, you know, in terms of just, you know, this is what you sit down on in Saturday's America and watch,
yeah,
and everything.
Absolutely.
I've been exposed. I've seen a little bit of everything, you know, whether it's the NCAA with the, you know, arcane rules and, you know, you look at the bonuses that the coaches are getting this weekend, you know, and, you know, Odell Beckham's getting criticized for handing out the cash to the LSU kids,
right,
and whatnot. Could have been a little more discreet, but yeah, it is what it is. But yeah, you know, Chris Borland has a great line in the doc where he says, all the things that Wisconsin will do just to beat Northwestern on Saturday.
Right.
And it's absolutely true. Are there, you know, programs that are doing it right? I've always been on the, you know, I don't think there are black hats and white hats as everybody thinks there is. I think it's all gray and everybody's doing a little bit of something, you know, whether it's, you know, the recruiting and that end or the shooting guys up and trying to keep them on the field and whatnot. So you just have to understand that that's part of the system. And if it's going to continue to be the way that it wants to be professionalized, and it is, and it's going to have all the trappings that come with that. And I think Aaron Hernandez's Florida experience in many ways represents that experience for the top kid in college football these days.
Kevin, it is incredibly compelling. Well done by everyone involved on the documentary. If anyone hasn't checked it out yet, available on Netflix now. I really appreciate it. Thanks for breaking it down a little bit and going behind the scenes with us.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Kevin Armstrong, NFL writer, executive producer for The Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez, now dropped on Netflix. Woodsy, I want to throw out the phone number. We're going to play some real or fake here in a second. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Hammer standing by to grab a caller, put you on the air here in a second, win some prizes. One, that the relationship between the two sisters is one of the other things that got me. The estrangement that was created where Aaron Hernandez's fiance, Aaron Hernandez killed his fiance's sister's boyfriend.
Correct.
But she stood by Aaron Hernandez.
Correct.
And it created, obviously, this unbelievable rift and pain in that family.
Well, how about his cousin that with breast cancer that basically helped him cover up many, many crimes and saying, I'd rather rot in jail with breast cancer than rat him out. I mean, it really is astounding. I mean, if you haven't watched it yet, if you were on the fence about watching, I could not recommend a documentary enough to you. It's riveting and it's heartbreaking.
It is. Oh, it's hard to watch.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's hard to watch in a lot of spots, to be sure. Not an easy documentary. Absolutely. Good stuff from Kevin Armstrong.
Really good.
Appearing on our SDCCU fan hotline, San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U or visit SDCCU.com. All right, Paul, let's get to it. Let's play a little real or fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
We are giving away a pair of tickets to the 2020 Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. Jim Rome going to be broadcasting from the Farmers Insurance Open next week. Make sure you keep it locked in to 97.3 The Fan. And I heard you talking about Paul working on getting Romy on the show.
Yes.
At some point. That would be very cool. I can tell you we do have Patrick on the show right now from Coronado. He's going to be your opponent today on Real or Fake Woods. Say hi to Patrick.
Hi, Patrick. Patrick. Patrick.
Patrick, are you there?
Yellow.
Patrick.
What happened to Patrick?
Patrick.
Hold. Let's try one more time. Patrick, are you...
Oh, my God. Son of a... I think Ben just hung up on him. Call back.
No, no. Hammer was looking to see if he was out there. He just disappeared. All right. Someone call back. 833-288.
That was real or fake with Ben and Woods.
I guess you get to keep those tickets, Ben.
I got a media pass. I don't need the tickets. Oh, I'm going to give the tickets away to someone out there.
Easy.
All right. So, shall we play between you and Hammer? No. Shall we? What should we do? Push it back? I was not anticipating Patrick just disappearing
like
that.
Can someone call for the love of God? And...
Well, yeah, we got a little delay now. So people are now finding out that they should be calling.
Here we go. Here we go.
833-288-0973. Hammer answers it. That's what happens.
All right.
Put him on.
Here we go.
All right. Good quick dialing. Mark in Santee.
It's your lucky day, buddy.
It's your lucky day. Welcome.
Welcome, guys.
We're already here.
This is not going to live up to all the hype at this point. Let's get going. MMA takes center stage this weekend. Conor McGregor, Cowboy Cerrone, meeting in UFC 246. Always billed as an anything-goes sport, Woodsy. There's actually 35 different possible MMA fouls, according to the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Today on Real or Fake, I'll give you a ring move. You have to tell me if it's a real foul or a fake. Basically, something you can get away with in MMA. So, foul or not, Woods, MMA, eye gouging, fake or real foul?
That's a real foul.
It is. You cannot eye gouge. MMA. It's that easy. Mark, round one for you. Spitting at an opponent or a referee, is that a fake foul or a real foul?
Real.
It is real. You cannot spit.
Cannot spit.
At your opponents. It's unsanitary. All right, round two, Woods. Let's try headbutting. Is that a fake or real foul in MMA?
I think that's a fake foul.
No, it is real. You cannot headbutt your opponent in MMA.
Too bad.
It's all these things you can't do. Mark, let's try you. A kick to the back of the knee. Is that a fake or real foul?
Fake.
Fake. You were certainly allowed to kick someone's back of the knee and just take them down. All right, round three, Woods. Holding or grabbing the octagon cage. Is that a foul, real or fake?
I don't think that's a foul.
It is a foul.
It is a foul.
You cannot grab the cage and hold on for dear life.
That's the first thing I would do.
Mark, let's try you in round three. Hair pulling. Real or fake foul in MMA?
I'll say fake.
It's a foul.
It is
a
foul.
Pull someone's hair in the octagon. All right, round four. Mark's ahead 2-1. Woodsy, let's try you. Sitting on an opponent's head. Real or fake foul?
I think you can do that.
You can do that. That is fake. Absolutely.
I'm
point so
confused.
For Woods.
I'm not going to follow the real or fake because I don't know what I'm saying.
It's kind of the other way, but you're right. Okay, here we go. Round four, Mark. Timidity, i.e. deliberately avoiding contact. Is that a foul, real or fake?
Fake.
That is real.
You
cannot run around and just avoid your opponent in MMA. That's a foul.
My wife is a big fan of timidity. Big fan. Timidity.
Last round. Here we go. We're all tied up.
Timidity. Fiance. Yeah.
Woodsy, fish hooking. Real or fake foul?
You cannot fish hook.
Cannot fish hook. You know what fish hooking is.
I fish hook my kid almost every day. It's his favorite thing. Every day. I do those. And he opens his mouth, and I fish hook him. He loves it. True story.
All right, well, Mark, for the win, you need to at least get this one to tie him. Any groin attack, real or fake foul in MMA, Mark?
Real.
It is. You cannot attack the groin. That's 3 points, and that is good enough, Mark. Congratulations. You're the winner of Real or Fake and the tickets to the Farmers Insurance Open. Thank you for playing, and thank you for dialing in so quickly.
My wife also practices that one, where you can't attack the groin. doesn't attack the groin with
Ben and Woods whilst 97.3 The Fan
whilst executing timidity.
So yes on fish hooking, no on groin attacks.
Correct.
Hair pulling?
No, none of that's allowed. You're a deviant.
Just making sure.
You are a deviant.
Here we go. I forgot about the Reindl report last hour.
Oh, my God.
So a little treat for our 7 o'clock hour listeners. The Reindl report.
Prime time, baby.
Coming up next in prime time. Half the show still to go. Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.